Hundreds of rescued migrants want to get into Italy, but the government won't let them disembark at the port. How will the new right-wing prime minister deal with the standoff? And how much responsibility lies with the rest of the European Union? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Darina Abugedo. Italy's new right-wing prime minister is facing the first major test of her pledge to block migrant rescue ships. Giorgia Meloni's government is refusing to allow hundreds of people to disembark at the Sicilian port of Catania. The Norwegian-flagged charity vessel Geo Barents arrived on Saturday after rescuing 621 migrants and refugees. Women, children, and six people were allowed off. But the government says the men on board are not vulnerable and must leave Italian waters. Dozens of people are stuck on another boat, the German-flagged Humanity One. Humanitarian organizations are suing the Italian government, saying everyone on the rescue ships are vulnerable and are entitled to protection under international law.
We will never leave the port as long as there's one person on board our vessel which has the right for international protection, which has the right to reach safe land.
Well, Italy's interior minister says the rescue vessels are sailing under the flags of certain countries, and these countries must shoulder some of the responsibility.
I want to point out our approach. We respect people. We respect human needs. We respect these people's emergencies. But at the end of this check, those who do not qualify according to the international organizations must be taken out of territorial waters. So the ship will be asked to leave Italian territorial waters.
Germany's government says it's working closely with Italy.
It's important that all the rescued people on board the ships can go ashore and all can be taken care of appropriately. And this is what we, as the federal government, are continuing to work for. We are in close contact with the Italian authorities about these two ships and also about the other ships that are involved in this issue. And we are working very specifically to ensure that the refugees and migrants receive appropriate care.
So Italy is one of the main gateways into Europe, and since the beginning of the year, it's seen a sharp increase in migrant arrivals. About 87,000 people have arrived so far this year by sea. That's compared with 55,000 in the same period last year. The majority set sail in small, overcrowded boats and are mostly from Egypt, Tunisia and Bangladesh. Italian government figures show half of all refugee applications are rejected. And this is usually because authorities believe another country is responsible for the claim. Let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Rome is Cecilia Sottilotta, who's an Italian political analyst and assistant professor at the University for Foreigners of Perugia. In Reggio Calabria is Hermina Poschmann, who's a humanitarian activist and member of Mission Lifeline. She was involved in a rescue operation in Reggio. And joining us from Florence is Valerie Fargione, who's a professor of politics of European integration at the University of Florence. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for your time with us on Inside Story. I'll start off with Hermina Poschmann in Reggio first, because from what I understand, you are with the crew from the German-run Rise Above vessels, which entered Italian waters over the weekend. First of all, can you tell us about the conditions of the migrants and refugees on board and how many there are?
So, yes. So, as you can see, I'm in front of the vessel Rise Above that was allowed to enter port this morning. And all our guests that were still on board, it were still 89 guests, we could disembark without any problems. And so now we don't have any guests on board anymore. And but in the last days, the condition of them went really, really bad. So it went completely critical. We had to evacuate for medical reasons at least six persons because they collapsed on board of our vessel. And yes.
Tell us what led to the moment that everyone on board was allowed to disembark. Because from what we understand from some of the other vessels, only women and children have been allowed to disembark, and the men were not allowed to.
We have until yet no information about this. We got yesterday the first contact from the Italian authorities, and they told us we can go to the port of Reggio Calabria. Sorry, and but it was not given as a port of safety, and they were not given any reasons why we could enter this port. So we were just happy that we could enter the port and that the people were immediately disembarked.
Okay, and once the refugees and migrants disembarked and entered the port, just give us a sense of where they go to next and what sort of services and facilities are available to them.
So here at the port, at the pier, there were some medical organizations, there were police on scene, and everybody was checked and also checked for injuries. And afterwards, they were took by two buses and went to a gym or something in this way. Now they have shelter there. I have no information about the conditions inside.
Okay, thank you so much for that update from Reggio. Let me go over to Cecilia. So we've been hearing from Hermina that 89 people from the vessel that that she is connected to have been allowed to disembark. But the fact is, you still have at least two other vessels stranded at sea where the men so far are not allowed to disembark. How do you think the standoff is going to be settled? Because Rome, as you've been hearing, insists that the countries whose flags these NGO boats are flying, they should bear the responsibilities for the migrants and refugees. And the NGOs are saying that Italy is breaching international law by keeping the migrants on the ship.
Yes, absolutely. I think that what you just said is correct. I think that these sort of theory that the Minister of Interior of Italy put forward about the fact that the states of the ship's flags basically should be cooperating is not, doesn't really find any basis in international law. So I think that they, the NGOs in this sense are correct in claiming that Italy at this point, with this idea of selective disembarkment, the idea that the other states should be cooperating before people are put in a situation of safety is actually breaching international law. So the standoff will find a solution, I think, as it happened with many other similar situations which occurred in the past few years. I would just like to add that, we are devoting much more attention to the situation now, but actually even in the past months when, under Mario Draghi's watch, we witnessed several ships, standoffs. So it took days before, in many occasions, before the so-called migrant ships were allowed to disembark their.
Okay, I'm glad you bring up Mario Draghi, because I'm going to come back to you a little later and just put to you what he said earlier this year when it came to the Ukrainian refugees. But let me bring in Valerie Fagione in Florence for just a moment. So the charities, the NGOs, have denied circumventing procedures, and they say that it's their duty to protect people that are in distress at sea. But as we know, the new Italian government has campaigned on a hardline migration policy. So for the new prime minister, is she just carrying out the promises that she made to her voters?
I guess that's what she's doing. I'm extremely disappointed with what the Italian government is doing, but I'm also disappointed with the European Union. Unfortunately, the issue, the migration, is an issue which is unresolved at the EU level. So, the Italian government is not behaving well, I think. Actually, I'm ashamed of being Italian right now. At the same time, the point is that the countries on the Mediterranean obviously face a burden when it comes to migration, and this burden cannot be only handled by the countries that are facing the Mediterranean, which is Greece, Italy, Spain, or Cyprus or Malta. And if we look at what the legal basis of EU action are, and look at what the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union says, definitely we see that it's a shared responsibility, but it's not just a legal issue. If we look at the legal issue, then we would have to mention Article 78.3, which says of the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union, in the event of one or more member states being confronted, I'm reading the article, an emergency situation characterized by a sudden inflow of nationals of third countries, the Council, on a proposal from the Commission, may adopt provisional measures for the benefit of the member states concerned. But still, this is not such an emergency situation if you look at the numbers. And this is the point. This is a situation, if we compare the numbers of what's going on, it's not such a huge number of people. This is not a big crisis as the current government is pretending, but it's for political reasons, because this issue, migration, polarizes public opinion, and the government is trying sort of, a distraction from big issues, because we're talking about a few hundred people. And in fact, for the other ship, it was only 34 people that were left on board. So we're putting up an enormous fuss.
Right, Valerie, but let me ask you this. I mean, this issue of migration has been a burning political issue since at least 2014, when there were a lot of migrants turning up on European shores. So to what extent did that fuel the rise of both the League and Meloni's Brothers of Italy party, which is now a right-wing government in place?
Yes, definitely. It's a as I said, the issue has been politicized. If we look at long-term interest of Europe, we need more migrants. And this is something that we're completely overlooking. So it's a distraction on the issue. But the real problem is that in Europe, we do not have enough workers to take care, for instance, of our aging population. So we actually need more migrants. But in fact, it's not just in Italy. Also in other European countries, we have the rise of right-wing populist parties. And for them, migration is an issue where you can focus all of the attention so that you don't really look at what the problems are.
Okay, let me bring in Hermina for a moment, just for the sake of time. Hermina, over to you in Reggio. Italy's government adopted a measure recently formalizing the closure of its ports to rescue ships that are run by humanitarian groups such as yours. Do you expect a wider crackdown on NGOs? And if so, how is that going to impact your work?
So actually, hopefully, this will not happen, because this will be a step back to the year 2018, where exactly the same happened. And as we all know, there were a lot of trials and cases on court. But in any case, so the NGO side got right and did nothing wrong. So we are acting completely with the law. And I cannot imagine that something like humanitarian aid will be criminalized in this way. And hopefully it will not happen again like this.
Cecilia, we keep talking about the right-wing government that's currently in place right now and the anti-migration policies. But does this incident signal a step back for Italian authorities? Or is this new government simply resurrecting policies that we've seen implemented in the past? For example, in 2018, 2019, you had that closed ports policy implemented by the then Interior Minister and far-right leader Matteo Salvini.
Yes, absolutely. The policy has been consistent over the years. And I will even add that, in fact, the current sort of framework that Italy adopts for the management of migration, which is geared towards a securitization of migration, like treating migrants as a security threat, was something that was introduced before even Salvini was in government by a Democratic Party that is center-left government, right? So technically, things haven't changed that much in terms of framework. What, of course, as the colleague in Florence was saying, what changed and what is changing is sort of the instrumentalization of these issues. And I would add to the previous question you asked, I think it's very important to consider that, again, we are witnessing this kind of war being waged against NGOs, but even blocking NGOs wouldn't solve the problem. If you look at the figures, like how many people arrived in Italy in the past 10 days, I think there were like about 9,000 people arrived to Italy's shores, and actually only about 1,000 were on board NGO ships, right? So waging this war against NGOs wouldn't even start to deal with the problem, if we want to call it like a problem.
Okay, Cecilia, here's the thing. Valerie was saying a moment ago that this could be a way for the government to distract from the domestic issues that are going on in the country. I mean, do you agree with that? Because as we saw in the election, the main issues for voters were the rising energy prices. It was inflation. It was Italy's policy towards Russia and Ukraine. But at the same time, the prime minister and the parties did campaign on a hardline anti-migration platform, and they've been elected into power. So do Italians expect a hardline policy when it comes to migration?
No, I agree 100% with a colleague in Rome, in Florence. Absolutely. It's a diverting the attention towards a fabricated problem, because in fact, even Italy's electorate, I would say, was and still is very much worried about the cost of living crisis, energy, war, etc. And but at the same time, migration has always been a highly controversial issue. So it's very convenient right now for the government. I wouldn't even say that this is a test for the government. Quite the opposite. It is very convenient for Italy's government right now to be able to talk about migration rather than explaining to the country how they're going to deal again with the cost of living crisis, what the plans are for the future in terms of, you know, security, vis-a-vis the Russia-Ukraine war, etc.
Okay, let's bring in Valerie in Florence. I know this could be a bit of a general question, but how much support do you think, how much public support, Valerie, do you think there is in Italy for a harder migration policy?
Well, I think we should remember that only 26% of those who went out and voted actually voted for Meloni. And although, okay, we have a center-right or extreme-right government in power, but that doesn't correspond to the majority of the population in Italy, because there were 16 million people that simply didn't go out and vote. So we should remember that a lot of people in Italy are not actually supporting the current government.
Okay.
So it's due to the electoral law. And actually, if you look at the importance of NGOs in Italy, and especially of the Catholic Church, you will see that a lot of people are, in fact, in favor of a different approach to migration.
Okay.
And Eurobarometer has a very interesting survey that was made about a year ago, and that shows how perceptions can sort of be even wrong. And what came out of that Eurobarometer survey is that a lot of people in Europe thought that the presence of migrants in their own country was much higher than it actually is, and which means that there are problems with the perception. So the issue is politicized, and it depends what is the message that the political parties are handing out.
Okay, let me just jump in there for the sake of time. My apologies. Hermina, from what you've seen on the ground,
sure.
How much hostile has Italy's policies towards migrants and asylum seekers become in recent years?
Well, so at least it has a really big impact, and the people, when you're at sea outside, you can see the people are really, really suffering and are in immediate danger of life. And it's also if they are kept on the ships, like hostages, I would say, it is a horrible scenario that you can see, and the people are really, really suffering. And I think it's an absolutely no-go that the politics are deciding about the decisions on the ship, about the people on the ships,
right?
That were just from a distress case.
Cecilia, in Rome, you were mentioning Mario Draghi at the beginning of the program. So this is what he said earlier this year, and I'm quoting, "Italy has welcomed refugees from Ukraine with open arms. More than 85,000, mostly women and children, have sought shelter from the war in our country. Italians have thrown open the doors of their homes and of their schools. We will not look the other way." I mean, a lot of people say the double standards here are really, really glaring. Is it a certain type of refugee then that they want to be allowed into Italy?
I think it's absolutely evident to anyone, right, that there's a double standard there. Why are we treating, for instance, Syrian refugee asylum seekers and Ukrainian asylum seekers differently, right? And we also saw certain things that we wouldn't have wanted to see on the European border with Ukraine, where, for instance, Ukrainian citizens who were not white were rejected, for instance, right? Or to be, they were told to go back to the end of the queue and they were not being let in. So I think there is absolutely, there is a double standard in this sense. And actually Meloni played, and also Salvini, during the electoral campaign in Italy, they were using this a lot. They were saying, for instance, that those who come, those who cross the Mediterranean on board ships, they're not real migrants, right? Like, or real refugees. The real refugees are, for instance, Ukrainian ones, right? So this kind of narrative, I think, is very dangerous, like sort of discriminating between who is an actual, you know, good refugee or who is not. I think it's very, very tricky.
Right. Valerie, what is the role here for European countries as a whole? You were mentioning the responsibility and where it lies just a moment ago. I mean, we saw European countries come together and share responsibility when it came to Ukrainian refugees, and rightly so, because a refugee is a refugee at the end of the day. But when it comes to people coming from other countries, what is the role of European countries, and how do you get them to share that responsibility with countries like Italy, for example?
Yeah, well, my answer is that unfortunately, right now, the majority of European political leaders are very short-sighted. So they're really concentrating on short-term issues and very often on following the next elections. So it's very difficult to have a long-term strategy. And this is what we're missing in Europe. Now, Africa is right in front of us. It's the continent right in front of us. And we seem to be ignoring what's going on in that continent because we keep pushing our own agenda. For instance, digital transition a priority. Is digital transition a priority in the case of Africa? Maybe we should consider what's actually going on in that continent. So, for instance, we're talking about 9,000 people over recent days, but we should be considering that in the case of the African continent, you have internal displaced migrants, so-called displaced persons, internally forcibly displaced. We're talking about millions. Uganda has 1,500,000 refugees in its own territory. So the size of what's going on in Africa is so much bigger than what comes over to Europe. And if we don't understand that it's in our own interest and in the interest of the African continent to approach the issue in a different way, I think it's really going to backfire on us.
Right.
So
will
what
Italy,
let
me ask you this then. Will Italy's tough new approach divide EU members? Because following one of the vessels that entered the Italian waters, Berlin denied any responsibility for the ship, that vessel flying under a German flag. Berlin saying, we have nothing to do with this and Italy should be the one to allow rescued people ashore. But then you heard from Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban, who said that, quote, we owe a big thank you to Meloni's government.
We're very far from solidarity. Solidarity is what is written in our treaties. We are very far from solidarity. And the point is that solidarity is also in our own interest. So what we're doing right now is, from my point of view, it's not in the interest of Europe, the kind of approach that we're taking to the problem. And the fact that we're not supporting a country such as Italy, because it's clear that Italy cannot take all of the responsibility for what's happening. But we should also be aware that migrants are coming into Europe, even from other parts of the world, not just through the Mediterranean. This
right.
is just a small minority of people that are coming from the Mediterranean.
Okay, Cecilia, final words to you, if you'd like to comment on what Valerie was saying. We have about 30 seconds left on the program.
Yes, absolutely. I think that the big issue here is the short-sightedness, so to speak, of the political elites in Europe. And we really, and the ironic thing, just to conclude, is that now Giorgia Meloni is rightly calling for more solidarity from the EU, but actually the leaders of which are against that across the European Union are precisely the nationalist leaders that are also considered to be her sort of political allies and counterparts, like
okay.
Orban, for instance.
We'll
so we see another
there.
Paradox there.
On that note, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to all my guests, Cecilia Sotilota, Hermine Poshman, and Valerie Fargione. Thank you so much. Thank you for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. Join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJInsideStory. From myself and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye-bye for now.